In the 1970s, the Mulvaneys of High Point Farm embodied the American dream. Their sprawling lavender farmhouse crowned a ridge in upstate New York, complete with verandas and fieldstone chimneys. Michael Saar, a self-made businessman, had lovingly restored this historic property that once served as an underground railroad safehouse. His wife Corinne, with her bright, carrot-colored hair, ran an antique business from their converted barn. Their four children completed this picture of familial bliss. Michael Jr., Mule, the football star, Patrick, the brilliant intellectual, Marianne, the sunny cheerleader, and Judd, our narrator, looking back on his family's dissolution. Life at High Point Farm was exhausting but fulfilling. Days began at 6 a.m. with barn chores before school, followed by more work with the animals after classes. Family dinners were intense affairs, requiring staying power, even in conversation. The Mulvaneys operated on an intricate system of coded nicknames that shifted with mood and circumstance. Michael Saar could be Dad, Curly, or Captain, while Marianne was Button or Chickadee. These names required exquisite calibration. Knowing which to use when revealed the complex emotional landscape of this tightly knit family. We Mulvaneys were joined at the heart, Judd tells us, in a time when everything felt stark and intense and almost hurtful in its capacity to excite his young mind. A profound shift occurred in 16-year-old Marianne's life following the St. Valentine's prom of 1976. That cold February night, she called home afterward, her unusual quietness noticed but not fully understood by her brother Patrick. The following Sunday, she carefully stored her prom dress in the deepest part of her closet, quietly disposing of damaged clothing. The evening's trauma lingered in her memory, particularly the words of Zachary Lunt, a fellow student who had violated her consent and trust, using religious manipulation to justify his actions. What occurred was a serious assault, though the term remained unspoken within the Mulvaney household. Zachary, who came from a well-regarded family in the community, had committed a grievous violation of trust and personal boundaries after the dance, cruelly mixing religious rhetoric with his misconduct. In the aftermath, Marianne sought spiritual comfort, spending extensive time at St. Anne's Catholic Church despite her Protestant upbringing. She found particular resonance in biblical teachings about forgiveness and resilience, continuing this practice until her mother Corinne eventually learned of the traumatic event. When the truth emerged, Michael Mulvaney Sr. confronted the Lunts in a violent rage, attacking Zachary and breaking his nose and ribs after throwing him against a wall. The aftermath only deepened the family trauma. Marianne refused to testify, stating, "I was drinking, I was to blame, I don't remember." She recognized that without her testimony, nothing could be proven against Zachary, whose friends would back him. If she didn't press charges, the Lunts wouldn't pursue assault charges against her father. Most devastating was Michael Sr.'s inability to face his daughter, admitting to Corinne, "God help me, Corinne, I can't bear the sight of the girl any longer." His grief had transformed into rejection of Marianne herself. At school, Marianne endured cruel pranks with a disturbing dissociative calm while Michael Sr. began unraveling, neglecting his business while obsessing over legal vengeance. The final break came when Michael forced Marianne to leave for the Green Isle Co-op. Her heartbreaking calls home always included the same painful question. Does he ever say anything about me? Patrick left for Cornell in 1976, returning only briefly. When Judd asked why their father hated Marianne, Patrick answered solemnly, "Dad doesn't hate her. It's just she reminds him of, you know." When Judd protested it wasn't her fault, Patrick replied, "It isn't Dad's fault either." While Marianne sought solace in religion, Patrick harbored revenge fantasies. By December 1978, he had planned retaliation against Zachary Lunt, recruiting Judd to steal their father's rifle. Patrick spoke with disturbing calmness about possibly killing or castrating Zachary like a pig. The Mulvaneys discovered that their seemingly unbreakable family bonds could indeed shatter. leaving each member to navigate their own path through the wreckage. On a cold April night, Patrick confronted Zachary at gunpoint, forcing him to drive to a secluded area. Zachary, not recognizing Patrick beneath his disguise, begged for mercy and wet himself in fear. Though Patrick didn't kill him, the confrontation provided catharsis. He later told Judd his anger drained out like poison. The Mulvaney family continued to unravel. Michael Sr. filed for bankruptcy, losing their new house. After Michael violently attacked Judd, the youngest son moved out, feeling that Michael Mulvaney Sr. had died and another man had taken his place. Marianne began what her mother called her rag quilt life, a patchwork of temporary jobs and homes. She found purpose at Stump Creek Hill Animal Shelter under Dr. Whitaker West, whose philosophy that we're here to serve these animals, not ourselves, sustained her through 1984-1988. During this time, Marianne made one secret journey home for her grandmother's funeral, watching from behind a cemetery wall. She was devastated to see for sale or lease at Mulvaney Roofing and farm for sale at High Point Farm. The final chapter takes place in July 1993 as the surviving Mulvaneys reunite for Independence Day. Michael Sr. has died, while Corinne has built a new life in a smaller home with select cherished antiques. Patrick arrives with his scientist fiancée, Katya. Mike Jr. has married and started a family. Marianne has found happiness with Dr. Whitaker West. Judd, now a newspaper reporter, still contemplates his family's story. As evening falls, fireflies trigger a shared memory. The siblings tease their mother about Ransomville, the snowstorm, and Providence, inside jokes that leave Corin laughing but pleading they not tell her new friends. Overwhelmed, Judd steps away. Patrick joins him, and Judd admits happiness feels dangerous, like a balloon being blown up bigger and bigger that might burst. Patrick confesses feeling the same. In Patrick's tent, as a weather radio crackles, Judd recognizes his brother's expression from childhood, revealing how family bonds, though tested, remain resilient. At its core, We Were the Mulvaneys examines different responses to injustice. Michael Sr. pursues legal justice, collapsing into bitterness when it fails. Patrick seeks vigilante justice, while Marianne turns to religious forgiveness through service. The novel questions whether a family can survive when its patriarch fails to protect, what happens when institutions deny justice, and how to balance justice with forgiveness. Each character forges their own path through trauma, and the family must be reimagined rather than restored. The Lavender Farmhouse exists only in memory, yet they find ways to maintain their connection in new forms. Despite what tears them apart, invisible threads of shared history connect them. When they reunite years later, they recognize each other through family jokes, nicknames, and intimate shorthand built over decades. The title suggests both loss and continuity. Their idealized family is gone, yet they remain Mulvaneys, transformed but enduring. Their story reveals that even when families are broken by violence and betrayal, something essential survives.